Welcome to what is the second EFFP podcast, what we're calling the R&R Files, Radcliffe and Rawson. And this time we're absolutely delighted to welcome Martin Thatcher, the MD of Thatcher Cider. And I've been very fortunate to have known Martin for a lot of years now. It was 2005 when we both did our Nuffield scholarships together. But more recently, I was put in mind of Martin when my 15-year-old daughter, having spent the weekend with her grandfather, announced that she'd be given a glass of cider. But it was all right, Dad, because it was Thatcher's cider. So that was meant to make me feel better about that. Well, I think over the last 15 years or so, Thatcher's has really become a household name. And in my mind, an incredible story about focus and success. There's lots I want to ask you, Martin, but we have got a limited amount of time today. But what I'm really interested in is what sits behind the success that Thatcher's has become, and also where are you heading next? So welcome, Martin. Let's start this interview. Yeah, could you just explain a little bit about who you are and what drives you as an individual?
Well, really a cider maker at heart, I guess, and that's the thing, the overall thing that drives me. Yeah. I always want to make the very best cider I possibly can, and on top of a cider maker, I'm a cider drinker, so I also enjoy drinking cider. So working hard is not a hardship, because I love every bit of what I do. I suppose what comes behind the success is on the back of that is we have an amazing group of people here at Thatcher's that make possibly my dream come true of making just the most amazing cider every day. And that's what we focused on ever since I did my Nuffield scholarship 15 odd years ago when we first met.
I know, because we've obviously spoken about this before, but I know the Nuffield scholarship was a bit of a turning point for you in the business. And the growth since then has been incredible. You know, it's been really impressive. What have been the cornerstones of this? You know, what do you put that success down to?
I had a fundamental, we as a family business had a fundamental change in what we viewed our philosophy to be after I'd finished my Nuffield scholarship. And I think probably the Nuffield experience is probably the one of the best things I've ever done in my life in terms of training and understanding about business. And I think I set off on my trip to go and see other producers. And I should just say my paper was on adding value and health benefits to fruit juices. And at the time we were dabbling in producing apple juice and various other fruit juices.
Yeah.
And I felt that given the right technology and some experience, we could probably do something that was really good, but it needed to be added value, not commodity. Mm-hmm. And that was my intention when I set off. And I visited loads of fabulous producers and retailers and farmers and learnt so much. But I suppose on reflection, and by the way, it didn't happen at the time, it was on reflection.
Right.
Was the turning point for me was when I was in California and I was in a Walmart, and this store was enormous. Mm-hmm. I mean, just absolutely huge. And there was a juice aisle that would take 10 minutes to walk from one end to the other. It was huge. And I was speaking to the person who was stacking the shelves, and I said, look, we wouldn't ever see this in the UK. This is just huge. And he said, juices in at the moment. Everybody's producing juice. The shelves just get longer and longer every week. But he said, don't worry about it. Once juice is off the favoured menu, then the shelf space will soon shrink back to something a little bit more normal.
Yeah.
And it hadn't really twigged at the time, but on reflection, what he was basically saying is, unless you're in some of the top selling lines on those shelves, when it shrinks back, your business won't shrink, it will just disappear in that store. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, my focus was to set out to have a few brands that sold really well, in ideally in the top 10-20% of the sales in the retailers.
Yeah.
In that particular category. And I think it was an interesting experience from a Nuffield point of view. But when I came back, then people were in the business were anticipating that we were going to start producing fruit juices. And in fact, I'd learnt a lot about fruit juices, and I felt I had a pretty good plan if we decided to go on fruit juices. But for me, the bit that I realised we had to do is that we were a small family business. There is only so much time you have, and there is only so much money you have. And if you want to do something, you have to do it really well, i.e., in that top 10, 20%. And that's what we set about doing. And in fact, soon after that, we stopped doing all the juices we were doing. We stopped doing anything that was a diversion tactic
So
to
you were
cider
already doing
making.
some juices at the time.
We were already doing some juices, yeah, but very on a small scale and very commodity. And we just focused on cider making, and that's what we did. And we knew we had a good product, but we just concentrated on making it better. We concentrated on selling more of it. We concentrated on making better brands, and we concentrated on employing people and developing people who really knew lots about cider. And that was the turning point of, I think, the whole business, and that was down to my Nuffield experience.
I mean, one thing you just touched on there, and again, you talked to me about this before, is the need, if you like, or your drive to surround yourself by clever people, people that are cleverer than you. I think you've quoted in the past rather modestly. I mean, how important has that been, and how did you go about recruiting the right people into the business?
Well, recruitment is always difficult to find the right people. First of all, you need skilled and talented people at the particular job you're employing them for, cider making or packaging or whatever. But then you need a good cultural fit. Thatcher's culture is really about a can-do, and it's about quality almost above everything else, which some people find that difficult because we are relentless about it, and there is no second best, it's always first. So finding the right people is difficult. However, I think where we've been successful is bringing young people in, developing them, training them, and bringing them through the business. And I think the apprenticeship program that's now on offer, or apprenticeships generally, is an amazing, amazing way of bringing young talent through in a business. And we didn't really get into apprenticeships until about 4 or 5 years ago. But yesterday, for example, we had our young apprentices presenting to the board and to their mums and dads what they thought the future should be and what we should be doing. And it's just incredible what they come up with. And it's just really interesting to see their view of the future. But those young people are probably the future of the business, because they're the next generation, and that's really important in a family business, that you have a succession plan that is probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ahead.
I love the fact that they also presented to their mums and dads. I think that'd be one of the most difficult audiences to present to.
Well, I have to say they were a little bit nervous, and rightly so, but they all did fabulously well. And the thing is their mums and dads and all the people were really rooting for them. And at the end of it, everybody was so proud of what they've done. It's just an incredible experience, and that's all part of their apprenticeship and I guess growing up and the beginning of a hopefully a successful career for them.
When you sort of look at successful businesses and successful people, etc., one of the questions that always jumps into my mind is, what you've done differently, which is just a polite way of saying what mistakes have you made on the way. But yeah, if you could go back those 15 years back to, when you completed your Nuffield scholarship, etc., what is it that you would do differently, if anything, of course, but what?
I think, well, probably I should have done my Nuffield scholarship 5 years earlier. Then I would have been 5 years ahead of where I am now. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. I think for me that was the catalyst for a lot of change. And if I hadn't have done that, then we wouldn't have made the change. I guess if I could go back, I would be more sure that focus was the right thing for us to do, and probably been a lot bolder in how I approach things. And it was very much a piecemeal, okay, we'll not do this, let's see how it goes, we'll not do that, let's see how it goes, and just gradually focus down on cider. I think if I know what I know now, I'd just be brave and just say, right, I know this is right, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And but as we said, hindsight is an absolutely wonderful thing.
And it takes time to build confidence, doesn't it? You know, in yourself and in the business.
Of course, yeah. And I think that's, and there is a difference. There's a fine line between being confident and reckless, I guess.
Yes. I mean, and, you know, the flip side of that question really is, you know, what's helped you along the way? And and again, you know, I can think of people in my career that have had a really positive influence on me personally and in the way my career's developed, you know. But, you know, who are your heroes? You know, who's influenced you to positive effect and made you the man and the business you are?
Well, there's lots of people I've met along the way that have been, you know, there's moments in time you think, do you know what, if I hadn't have been there and I hadn't have spoken to this person, then I wouldn't have done this. And that was something that made a huge difference. I guess probably the first person that was really inspiring was a gentleman called Richard Purdy. And he, at the time, was chairman of Merrydown Cider. And my father and I went over to see him and to buy one of their presses, secondhand presses. A press that they'd used for, I think it was 21 years, and it was an automatic press, and this was a big step forward for us. And he was really inspiring in what he'd done with Merrydown, and their focus on quality and how they'd made their cider was quite different. And they had beautiful bottles with beautiful foil wrap around them and labels. And I saw it all happening in front of my eyes. And at the time, we were a tiny cider maker with no level of sophistication or that sort of thing. And for me, I came away thinking, do you know what, I quite like to be like that. That looks like a good thing to do. So he was a big inspiration to me. Excuse me. And then I guess people I've met along the way, and you bump into people in unusual places. I was very lucky to meet a gentleman called Brian Pocock, who subsequently became chairman of the Thatcher's business for about 8 or 9 years. And he helped guide us through that growth period. And he was a real inspiration. And there's lots of what we call Brianisms now that we refer to, you know, putting things on a 6-inch nail, ritual sniffing of the herd, and all these type of things that have sort of come into the company lexicon, which is quite nice. So he was tremendously helpful in helping develop the business. Yeah. A lady who worked for a marketing agency called Sarah, who came to present to us a marketing idea, and she took me out of the room and she said to me, Martin, don't throw your dummies out the pram until you've held the whole proposal. This at the beginning looks madness, but actually it will work.
Yeah.
And that was about doing our first advert. And you know, probably if she wasn't wise enough to sort of say, right, just listen through to this could work, we would have probably got halfway through and it would have been dismissed.
Yes.
And that was our first advert, and that was a huge step forward. I think Rupert, who's been on the board for a good while, has given us good marketing advice about how to manage the brand and those sort of things.
Yeah.
And of course, I suppose my biggest hero really probably is my dad, who has made such wise decisions. I sit there and think, oh my God, how am I going to be wiser than him? So I guess I'm quite competitive, so I just want to be better than those other people. So, though, I perhaps don't have one single hero, but just lots of people that I know at points of time have influenced what I've
steered you in a
done.
particular direction.
And of course there's many others that I could recount.
I mean, you kind of talking about your dad, etc. It sort of leads me into my last question, really, and that is, what does the future look like for Thatcher's? And I know that it's a family business, and I know family is very important to you as well. But where next? Where are you going to take the business next?
Well, I think the important focus now is on the next generation, and the apprenticeship schemes that we're running are really, really important, because it's the people that will carry it on and embedding the philosophy and the culture in the new people that are coming in. And part of that, of course, is we've got the fifth generation Thatchers working in the business. My daughter Eleanor, my son Peter are both working in the business at the moment, and they're doing their I guess their apprenticeship as well, working their way around the business, understanding what it's about, indeed deciding what they will want and whether they want to be the leader of the business in the future, I guess is probably the unspoken thing that's happening as well. But also the people around them, it's about making sure that they have, just amazing people to work with, as I have been very lucky with as well. So it does revolve around the people, and then of course the products, and having the technical skills to make amazing cider. And of course the upside to that is you get to taste it every day and drink it as well. So this is it's all in self-interest, I think.
And do you think you're going to be the sort of person who, when the time is right, of course, and the time isn't there yet, but to sort of stand back and let them take the business forward in the way that they want to?
Oh no, I expect I will interfere much to their
Excellent.
irritation.
That was the answer I was hoping for.
I've already warned them that I'm going to do that. I mean, I've worked in the business now 33 years, and it's in my blood. It's literally it's in my but it's what I've done, so that's really hard just to give up and hand over. And I'm sure I will create frustrations because the next generation will have a different view on it, and of course have every right to have a different view, and the world will be a different place, and they of course will be right, and I will at some point have to admit defeat. Yes.
That's absolutely brilliant, Martin. As I said at the beginning, I could chat to you for hours, because I think there's so much to learn from your experiences and how you've built the business. But we try to keep these podcasts down to around about 20 minutes, and we're just about to come up to that 20 minutes. So thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed. It's a fascinating story, and one that I love hearing about from you. So I
Thank
will
you.
raise a glass of cider at some point today, probably this evening.
Yes,
And
thank you very much.
thank
Yes.
you. And it will be a Thatcher cider.
Following in your daughter's footsteps, that's
absolutely.
good.
So, well, funny enough, actually, we are traveling up this afternoon to my father, to her grandfather, where she had that glass of cider. So, I hadn't actually thought of that before, but there's something, there's a nice symmetry to that.
Yep. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Cheers, Martin.